Hey there, fabulous listeners. Are you ready to unleash your inner diva and have the time of your life? Well, have we got a treat for you. Get those vocal cords warmed up because it's time to shine at the most dazzling drag queen karaoke event in town. Picture this. Every fourth Sunday of the month, the enchanting Gigantic Brewing transforms into a mesmerizing haven of glitz, glamour, and unforgettable performances. And who better to guide you through this unforgettable experience than the fabulous me, Coco Gem Holiday, and Autumn Rains. These memorizing queens will have you clapping, cheering, and singing all night long. Now, let's talk about the heart and soul of the amazing event, our incredible KJ, DJ Queer Cub. With their expert skills, they'll keep the beats pumping and the energy soaring as they take you to the stage and bring down the house with the music. So whatever you're doing and whatever you're about, even if you're a seasoned performer or a first-time karaoke superstar, DJ Queer Cub will have you feeling like a star. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty details. Drag Queen Karaoke at Gigantic Brewing is located at 5524 Southeast 26th Avenue. Remember, folks, this fabulous extravaganza is strictly for our 21 and over friends. But trust me, it's worth the wait. And let's not forget about the real star of the show, the beer selection at Gigantic Brewing, with an amazing assortment of brews that will leave your taste buds tingling. You'll find the perfect libation to complement your dazzling performances. Now, here's the best part. Anyone and everyone is welcome to take the stage, so gather your friends, your family, or even your trusty shower loofah and prepare to unleash your inner superstar. But remember, it's first come, first serve, so be sure to arrive early to secure your seat. And if you're worried about finding the perfect song, fear not. We have over 250,000 songs in our incredible songbook. We guarantee that you'll find the perfect anthem to let your inner diva shine bright. So, mark your calendars, set your alarms, and get ready to experience a night of glitz, glam, and unforgettable performances. Join us every fourth Sunday of the month at Gigantic Brewing for the most fabulous drag queen karaoke. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, I'm in work attire because I want to feel like a boss bitch every day, all day. This is my life. So I wanted to talk about marketing and advertising real quick, as it's been something that's been on my mind. So I recently started using ChatGPT to help build out my copy. And the thing is, it's not even that I'm loving what ChatGPT is writing for me, even though it does a pretty good job. What I like about it is, like, I'm so sick and tired of saying the same things. Because really, when you think about promotion and drag, it's you need the name of the event, who's in it, where it's at, how much it costs, like give people the information that they need. But, you know, we all say, like, oh yeah, girl, look at this cast or stuff like that. And it's just always the same stuff over and over and over again. And honestly, my brain is burnt out on trying to come up with cool and creative ways to, like, do that. So I started using ChatGPT, and I really enjoy it because it'll change it up. It gives it a little bit of flair. And then I can actually ask it to give me, like, a couple of different copies about what it could be. And I know that this sounds like a commercial for ChatGPT, but the reality is, like, there's not a lot that we can say necessarily about a drag show unless there's, like, a specific theme or a specific special guest, right? Like, especially if you have a recurring show, it's like, oh, yes, I have this show I've been doing monthly. Yes, the cast is different, but it's monthly. Like, you know, that's really what you can say about it. And so it's been really helpful for me to figure out and navigate as I've been moving on into this, like, marketing promotion world. The other thing, too, is just a small update about my life is, you know, I've done a lot of episodes on mental health recently. It's because I've been going through some things, and this podcast has been really helpful in talking with the different guests I've had on here to, you know, kind of figure out where I'm standing on things and how I operate. And so a lot of the themes for the last couple of episodes have kind of been the same. But I think it's important to continually put the conversation first, because at the end of the day, you know, mental health is a journey. Like, there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all fix to the problem. And with me, it comes in a lot of different avenues. So with that, I want to say, how are you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments.
To
Tune in, fabulous listeners. We've got a sizzling announcement for all you drag aficionados and karaoke connoisseurs. Join us every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. for an unforgettable night of glamour and entertainment at Misfits Bar and Lounge, located at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. Hosted by the mesmerizing Autumn Rains and captivating Coco Gem Holiday, this drag queen karaoke show will have you singing, dancing, and living your best life. Let loose and showcase your vocal prowess alongside these extraordinary queens as they create an atmosphere bursting with energy, laughter, and pure fabulousness. Mark your calendars and gather your squad for a Wednesday night that promises to be nothing short of spectacular. Whether you're a seasoned performer or first-time diva, Misfits Bar and Lounge is a place to be for an unforgettable evening of entertainment, empowerment, and endless fun. Don't miss out on the fabulous extravaganza. Join us this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and let your inner star shine at Misfits Bar and Lounge, Portland's newest queer plus space.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into What They Tell You podcast.
Check it out.
And we are back, listeners. And as always, I have promised you a special guest. So introducing to the stage, welcome Feather Dusted.
Hello,
hey, Feather, how are you?
I'm good, girl. How are you?
I'm good. I'm drinking a White Claw.
That sounds amazing. I'm drinking water.
So for the listeners, let's start off really easy. Say, what's your full drag name? Where did it come from? And how long have you been doing drag?
My drag name is Feather Dusted. I am a drag artist who has done drag professionally for 9 years, in total 12. And my name came from my acts and activism during Occupy ICE Philadelphia.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, so...
Explain more about that.
Well, I was out there, and so what we did, we eliminated the preliminary arraignment reporting system, which was a system that allowed the immigration to go into people's houses and remove them from their house. And my code name was Feather. And just stuck.
Wow. That's really fantastic. I don't think a lot of people know that about you.
No. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about me.
I don't think they do either. I think that so I didn't really have a lot planned for Feather, but I also thought that this would be a really good idea to have Feather on here, because Feather is known as one of the more controversial people, and it's not necessarily negative. It's more so about the fact that Feather tends to speak Feather's mind whenever Feather just damn well wants to. And, you know, when you have an opinion on the internet, as my last three podcasts have actually talked about, when you have an opinion on the internet, people then have an opinion about you. Because if they agree with your opinion, then they're like, oh my gosh, this person's great. They're changing the community. They're changing the world. They don't like your opinion. They're like, oh, she's messy. She's drama. I don't want to work with her. Right?
100%.
So
absolutely.
Let's get to know Feather just a little bit more. So when did you move to Portland, and why did you choose to move to Portland?
We moved here 3 years ago. My situationship and I. And we moved here because he got a better job and I wanted to start doing drag like full time and like really enveloping myself into the art of it all instead of just being a pretty queen, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, that makes sense. You touched on your situationship, and I know that you did a Facebook Live, like you've done actually a couple of Facebook Lives about your situationship. Where are you currently at with that, if you don't mind sharing?
The thing is we've been through a lot together. And like, when I say a lot, I do mean like, this man does love me, but his insecurity because of his own self damages us a lot, but it's nothing serious. It's not like he's beating me. And I know a lot of people have misconceptions about that, but like, no, he would never put his hands on me. And if he did, I'd drop him. It's true. And I think every relationship has issues. And I think that we can heal the people that we are with by treating them with kindness and showing them what love truly can be. You know what I mean? I think that trying to fix somebody is not the answer, though.
Yeah.
So there's a fine line there that I'm like on.
Well, let's ruffle your feathers a little bit here. I think that
no pun intended.
I remember seeing one of your lives about your situation, mm-hmm. and I had a piece of advice for you. I thought that you might find to be controversial, but also I think you'd agree with it. Is the one thing that I noticed about you is that I think that you love really hard. I think that that is also probably a downfall of yours, is that you love really hard.
I mean, Beyonce wrote a song about it, Crazy in Love. I mean, you know I'm right.
I do. Because you do. You love really hard. And I've sometimes it can be a bad thing because it keeps you with people you probably shouldn't be with. And I'm not on this spot. This podcast isn't about whether Feather Shinasha should be with her person. It's more about like learning about who Feather is in regards to the situation she's going through in her life. And so let's talk about that a little bit more. Why do you think you love so hard?
So I have an ex who passed away. I don't think a lot of people know that, but like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so my ex, he died of a heroin overdose, and after happened, and I was not doing drugs or anything at the time, he passed away, and it took a piece of me.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that. I didn't know that about you. Did this happen when you were in Colorado?
No, this happened when I moved out to Maryland. I had met somebody, we were together for 4 years, and then he passed away.
Wow. God, wait, so how long ago was this?
This was a long time ago. This was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, you've had a life.
Girl.
Why don't people know this stuff about you? Literally, because why don't people know this?
I keep this stuff private because I think, there's a lot of people who have judgments already of me. And I don't want to feed that with like my own experience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think if people did actually get to know me, they'd realize that like, I'm actually a really cool person. I just don't tolerate people's drama. Like, I mean.
That's super fair. I think that, but it's funny because like, I know a lot about you, but as like we're literally like 6 minutes in and I've learned three things about you I just didn't know. And I think maybe Miss Feather Dusted might be potentially a little bit closed off. To people also, because I'm recognizing that we've had 1,000 conversations this first time of hearing about some of this stuff. And
yeah.
I know that with drag sisters and drag friends and drag families and all this other stuff. And, you know, you don't like when you're at a bar drinking, like, you know, smoking outside or whatever, like it's not a conversation. You're gonna be like, oh yeah, I had an ex that passed away. Like that's not, I get it.
No.
It doesn't come up politely and interestingly or even in a way that's like fun for the audience.
It's the hardest thing I've ever had to face in my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Losing him took a piece of me that I will never get back. And I know that.
Do you ever give your, I was thinking about this today, just as a side note, do you ever give your friends advice that they should break up with a person? Or are you part of those people that like live in that culture where it's kind of taboo to say that to a friend?
Right. I've always been the kind of person who like, if it's none of my business, I keep to myself. I mean, I had to learn how to be that way when I was very young because, you know, growing up in a chaotic household, as most people do in today's world, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, but I don't know what you mean. What do you mean you grew up in a chaotic household?
Grew up with a stepfather who drank a lot and he beat a lot. I mean, it was just,
oh my God.
It was just the way of life for a long time. And then after that, we just kind of, I moved out. I changed my life. They kicked me out, but I moved out.
Wow. My gosh, Feather, you've been through some stuff. My goodness. Okay. Well, continue on this trail. So what age did you move out then?
I was 13. I was 13 when they kicked me out.
And then where did you go?
I went to my best friend Mariah's house, and I love that bitch for life. She saved my life.
Did you finish school, or what did you do?
I did kind of finish school. I didn't get a diploma.
Okay. And then, so after school, where did you go from there?
After school, I went and I worked at a Carl's Jr. and I got an apartment and started my own life. I mean, and during that period, I was working at a club that, you know, wasn't necessarily the best.
What do you mean?
Like, I was, yeah, no. We're not going to talk about that. I love you, girl. No.
It's funny, gosh, you've admitted so much. I think that, so, in relation to, so wait, what age were you when you started drag then?
I was like, I want to say like 14.
So you started drag soon after you left your parents' house?
Yeah, I was interested in it. I mean, I've always been interested in drag. You know, I watched RuPaul's Drag Race for the very first time, and it showed me a different way. It showed me that, like, you know, you can be queer and, like, be unapologetic and do it in a way where it's entertaining to people.
Wow. Wow. Gosh, I'm learning so much about you. And there's so many avenues I could take this conversation. I do think that I do want to point out that me and Feather, and we won't really talk about this because that'd be too heavy, but me and Feather, we're both known as Colorado Queens as well. Like, so obviously the scandal, not the scandal, the horrible tragedy that happened at Club Q was awful. And it sucks when you weren't there and like to be able to be a part of the, like, the, you know, the vigils and being around your friends and family. And I, cause like I'm from Colorado, like my mom lives in Colorado and stuff like that. And that's actually something that me and Feather had actually bonded over, you know, cause we were able to be around each other and like, you know, be able to talk about those things and that were really hard at that time. And you know, the funny thing about this, Feather, is it's just showing me you have a lot of resilience inside of you for some of the BS that you've been through, which makes me wonder why you're so dang lippy.
I'm so lippy because I've always been taught to speak my mind. I think I blame my grandma for that. Listen, that woman, she had a whipper of the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, do you have any regrets about the situations that you've had in life so far?
My biggest regret was not pushing myself forward earlier. You know,
you
what
were
I mean?
13. What do you mean? Well,
touché, I completely agree. And, you know, family isn't always blood is thicker than water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
I'm from the generation that phrase is very ingrained.
Right.
Like, because I am a millennial and I would consider like the middle class, the middle age range of millennial, like, because I'm in my 30s. And like, I don't think I could be a person who goes no contact with my family if they did something really awful, because like blood is supposed to be thicker than water, which is such a toxic trait to believe in because some people's families are truly terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say my family is terrible. I think that when my brother passed away, my mom went insane and it caused a ripple effect throughout our family, which I don't blame her for it because everybody grieves differently.
Oh, I didn't know that you had a brother pass away. My condolences. How old were you at the time?
At the time, I was freshly 18.
18?
Yeah.
You've been through some shit, Feather. My
Girl,
God.
I had to run away from Pueblo. We could talk. I have.
Wait, run away from Pueblo? Why?
Yes, to get to my brother's. What happened? Yeah, girl.
Jeez.
It's crazy. Life is crazy, girl.
With this a lifetime, if people are going to buy me the rights to this podcast, or like they're going to buy the rights to this podcast to get your dang story. Gosh, I feel like we haven't even talked about drag enough.
No.
All this stuff, like the funny thing about drag, let's say it this way. Do you feel like you're out of drag persona? Like, what's the difference between your out of drag persona and your in drag persona?
One of them is very brutal in her words, and the other one is very like timid. Like, I'm not the kind of person as Wesley. I wouldn't be interested in walking up to a group of people trying to talk to them. But Feather, she loves to. She's a nut.
Yeah, I actually I've had a couple of weeks of some really bad depression, and Coco has been a saving grace for me.
Right.
And it's funny because some people are always like, they're like, it's the same person though. And I'm like, but it's not. Like, when you do drag for a long time,
it becomes like another bitch.
It becomes another bitch. It does. It's like another person. And like, I know it's also considered part of the concept of compartmentalization, because it is. But it's also like that person develops a persona, their own friends, their drinking habits, like stuff they like to do, stuff they appreciate, versus stuff out of drag. There's so many things out of drag I do not like. In it. Like, I don't like really going out to queer bars a lot when I'm out of drag. Same. I go to dive bars. But when I'm in drag, I want to go to all the places to see all the girls and see all the queers and like da 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 da. Like, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, same. Like, yeah. I think that every drag artist will understand that there is a balance that needs to be had. And if you don't have that balance, it becomes very chaotic very quickly.
Agreed. And so, yeah, no, I agree with that. And the thing is, I've always known you to be really outgoing in a lot of different ways. I really appreciate, just to get on a positive subject for at least 5 minutes, I've always really found your performance style to be really interesting to me, because I feel like when you first moved to Portland, like, you were performing really well, but I feel like you didn't have a purpose the way you performed. Like, it was just like, I am doing drag. Nowadays, when I see you perform, it's like there's like a concept, a story, a costume, there's like something. Like, there's like such a power behind the way you perform these days, I've noticed. And everything feels really intentional. Like, everything feels like a story, I guess, for lack of a better term. I just feel like you're sharing a story with your audience when you perform these days.
Well, first, thank you. And I really adore your performance style, too. And, like, I think over the years, I've curated enough choreography that, like, it does become a flow. It turns into a flow. And that's what I tell a lot of these younger artists who come to me, and they're like, how do you perform like that? I'm like, just keep going. Because if you keep going, you're going to get better, and then you're going to want to try new things. And then, you know, and that's what this art form is about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. This art form really is about trying new things. So let's talk about, so sometimes when you get your feathers ruffled, which is, I'm going to keep using that throughout.
I love it.
When you make your online posts and whatever like that, and then sometimes it blows up in your face. Why do you feel the need, not in a negative way, but like, why do you feel the need to like share your experiences like that online?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's important for people to be able to see all sides of a person so that you can really understand a person.
I can see that. I will say that there is validity to, so, because like at the time of filming this, I think I was like, somebody was trying to cancel me last week, but I had so much going on, I didn't care. And I feel bad that I didn't care. Yeah, they tried. I still just don't care enough. And I feel bad that I don't care enough. But I do. I actually feel bad that I just didn't care so much for something that mattered to someone else. But
you're good.
But here's the reason I'm bringing it up is that I get the comment a lot for myself. They're like, Coco, this person said XYZ PDQ about you on the internet. How are you going to respond? And oftentimes I'm like, I don't care. I like enough. And I feel bad about that. I like, because then people write a narrative about you. But I also believe that if I show up to gigs, I do my stuff, I like do what I'm supposed to do, right? Then like that's how it comes into being. Like, that's what I'm hoping people will see from that. Right.
Right. Exactly. So, I think that it's important to see all aspects of a person, because like for a long time, I didn't know who I was, you know, and we're not going to get into that today. But like it took a while for me to get back to the person who I am. And I'm unapologetic for who I am. I always have been. I speak my mind. I'm out, you know. you piss me off, I'm gonna let you know. And that's just, that's always how I've been. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily anger issues. It's not like I'm trying to fight somebody. It's just me letting people know that this isn't okay. And these are some of the things that I feel need to be addressed with in this community. Because the safety of the people is where it matters.
Yeah, the safety of the people is where it matters. So you haven't really been brought up as like the topic of controversy in a long time, but you obviously are privy and hear about the controversy happening with other people. What would be your advice that you would give to entertainers who are like currently in the thick of like drama or scandal?
If you're in the thick of it, just let it go. Just don't respond to things. Don't give it the energy, because if you're giving it energy, that's energy you're wasting that you could be learning how to do something new. You know what I mean? Like, don't waste your energy on people who don't know you and have an opinion about you.
Yeah, I hear that pretty deeply. I hear that pretty deeply for a lot of reasons. I remember one time I went through something like really scandalous, like probably about 8 years ago. And I remember one of my drag queen friends was like, she's like, you know, there is another option. I was like, what? And she's like, do nothing. Do nothing. She's like, see what happens. And it's true. It's almost like they're kids like who have tantrums. They'll just burn themselves out after a while. Exactly. They're just like they'll make 13 posts about you, but they see that it's not affecting your life in any capacity. So they just like keep screaming and screaming and crying until they fall asleep on the floor.
For real. Like, no, it's so serious. Like, I think that a lot of people don't have an idea of who I am at all. I think that, or, you know, just people like me in general. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People who keep their business to themselves because they don't want, you know, I don't keep all of my business to myself. When my life is chaotic, I let people know. I'm not ashamed of people. Okay? Mm-hmm. Life's a little crazy sometimes. It is 2023, okay? Like,
well, and that's the thing. Like, you have to be able to, you know, get better on your own right. So how do you self-care? Like, what do you do for self-care?
I shower a lot. I like to take moments with Laneige. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a product that I use for my face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You're like, I do this, a product for my face, and then I like to relax and take a shower, which is funny. I do like to take bubble baths. And like, I'll put up my phone and like watch a couple of episodes of something and just like let the world like wash away all the sin. Yeah. And it's true. I like, and it makes me feel like 99% better. I remember when I was in high school once, I took 3 baths in one day. I take really
long showers. That's my thing. 30-minute showers.
I would, but I have 3 roommates and that water would be gone, mama. That would be gone. So what is your biggest drag achievement thus far?
My biggest achievement was befriending Laganja. Getting to meet Laganja and actually like talk with her was just a wonderful experience.
Oh, at the Bish show.
Yeah. It was actually really amazing. And, you know, I'll never forget it.
You and her are in the same wheelhouse, like a talented dancer queens and stuff like that. And, you know, that just... That makes sense. That's cool. I'm glad that you got to have that experience. What is your future like for Feather Dusted? Like, what does that look like?
Well, here soon I'm going to be coming out with a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's going to be called Hi Barbie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
That's happening. That's so stupid. I love it.
And you have to join me. You have.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing about drag queen podcasts that I love about them is I know that some people are like, oh yeah, we like film this live and then we release it. I don't need to film these live. I don't need all of that pressure.
Absolutely.
Because it takes a lot of energy to do that. And I would rather focus on the content and the substance than like making sure that my mug is perfect for a film filming.
Yeah,
and I was going to do once a month, I was going to do a live filming of it in drag. But then I was like, that sounds miserable. So I'm not going to do that.
Especially if you have the day off.
Oh, yeah. To then come and then have to be on it. And the other thing, too, is like, for me, it's the background. Like right now, while filming this, like I'm in my office and it looks disgusting and whatever. And like, But like when you film a podcast live, you got to like even make sure your background look right and like make sure everything looks cute and like
that's so damn girl. Like, yeah.
And I was just like, nah, that's just not my journey this week. That's not happening because I don't want to have to keep track of all that.
I'm so glad you didn't make me get in drag.
Oh gosh, no.
I love it, but it, like, you know, you get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, it takes a little while. Do you have any drag children?
I do. I have So Delicious is my drag child.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Soda is my newest drag child. I also have, who else? Goodness gracious. There's so many people who want to be my drag children. Like, I have my stepdaughter, Champagne Poussois.
Yeah.
She's my little chaos demon, and she's amazing.
Yeah. I have recently, I got real birthed happy. I have, I had three new drag children in a year, accidentally, but graciously and happily. I love all of my babies. My babies are great.
And they love you.
Yeah, they're all really nice. And they're good people. That's the thing, that all of them are good people with trials and tribulations, and I really adore all of them. When it comes to show producing, like, are you producing any shows right now? Because you were producing some shows.
No,
like, are any of them still
not
happening?
Right now, I'm not.
What happened to your shows, Feather? What happened to that Mississippi Mississippi pizza show?
We're not going to talk about that today.
When did that end?
Huh?
Feathers Follies, I think is what it's called.
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
Great. It actually started taking off, and then they pulled it. So, I mean, there was nothing I could do.
No, that's understandable. But and I thought you also had a show that you were hosting out at, like, Escape. Like, that was yours.
I was going to do a Stranger Things theme show, but the headliner that I really, really wanted couldn't do it, and so I had to pull back from that.
No, it's understandable. I get it. It's hard. I realize that, like, struggling with mental health has made me a really crappy show producer, and not in the sense of, like what I do in the show chat, more about the getting people booked to be in shows.
Right.
That has also really suffered because I'm just like,
well,
I don't like waiting.
It comes and goes, as you know.
Yeah, but I just don't like waiting. I hate, like, if I write somebody a message, like, and then 4 days later, they're like, yeah, girl, I can do it. I'm like, no. I need a response within 24 hours.
I get you. Well, yeah. You always, you know, if you message me, you're going to get a response immediately. So,
yeah, and I appreciate that. You're a fantastic performer to always throw in somewhere, and you always are just down to party, and which I think, like, comes with a lot of accolades, too. I still take a lot of free and tip spots myself, you know, for last-minute dropouts. They're like, hey, girl, I got a dropout at the tip spot if you want to come twirl, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, yes. I'm not doing nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, I have started saying no to some things, but it's not because of the money. It'll be because, like, so Mondays and Tuesdays, like, because I have to think about drag as a full-time job, even though it's not my full-time job.
Right.
And so, like, Mondays and Tuesdays are my off days. So if somebody tries to book me on a Tuesday last minute, that's me, like, saying, okay, in a 7-day week, that means I, like, work 6 days, like, right? And that's a little much. Like, so I want to make sure because that time I spend getting into makeup, traveling to the gig, doing the performance, the travel home or whatever, like, I need it to still be fun for me to do drag. And if it feels like a job, which right now it doesn't feel like a job,
right.
It can be overwhelming. But I will say last Sunday's karaoke was, like, so dead for me that the entire time I was there, it felt like a job. Like, the entire time. Oh, and
It comes with
hammered.
The territory of doing this, you know. I mean, you've been in the game for a long time, too. So you definitely understand that, like, there's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days.
Yeah. What advice would you give for the kids who are constantly, like, not making the good coin? Because the reality is you make pretty decent coin. Your stunt girls always make a little bit more, right? What would be your advice to somebody who's, like, struggling at making the good coin?
I think it's very important for them to understand that, like, the older artists, the people who have done this for a very long time, are really good people to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of opportunity there as well. But I also think it's important to stay true to yourself through it all, because there's a lot of parents who come forward and they're like, you know, oh, be my daughter. And then they're out here treating their children like garbage. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it just, it's not.
What do you think makes a good drag parent?
I think teaching your children how to do drag, part one, because that's like the number one. You should be actively teaching somebody how to do it if you're going to be their parent. I think that it's important for, you know, you to teach them everything that you know.
Right. I agree with that. I do. I think that that makes a lot of sense. I think that you would probably make a good drag parent. Also, who's your drag parent? Do you have one right now? Are you orphan Annie-ing it?
Yes, I have. Bolivia Carmichaels is my drag mother.
Okay. So what are some of your favorite shows to perform in and why?
One of my favorite shows, well, obviously I love working with you.
Of course.
Honestly.
Fantastic.
Like being in your presence and like getting to have, you know, the interactions that we do that are very real and like genuine. Because it's very, right. I mean, I think when you're a drag artist, there's a lot of people who think that it's all about being beautiful. And it's like, it's not, drag is not just pretty. It's campy. It's messy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Drag is messy. And it is.
It is. It's messy. And I will say, no, I like hanging out with you too. Like, cause so for my listeners who are going to listen to this episode for the first time ever, the way that I do drag shows is I like to try to bring drag back to what it was back in the day and dive bars. And it's supposed to be fun and silly and stupid. And like, it's not supposed to be serious. Like a lot of my shows, like I always forget to print the set list. So when people get there, like, when am I going? I'm like, I don't know. I want to call your name. Like, and I know people are like, oh my God, she's so unprofessional. Actually, nobody ever says that. But like, I'm like, listen, I was like, it's supposed to be, drag is about the audience at a drag show. Yes, we're showcasing our art, but it's about the audience. So like, it's supposed to be, if they're having fun, it's an A+ show. If you, if like everything is so well coordinated, but the audience isn't having fun, then you didn't really get anything out of that. Like, like I've had bigger payouts at shows with 20 members in the audience because they were having a good time versus a show where there was 50 people in the audience and like the hosting was a little rough, like in the sense of funny, like, so the audience wasn't enjoying that. And like, it was up to the performers to pull everything that they had to be able to get the audience to tip. But the host wasn't like creating an environment to where they could tip. Right. And so that's what made it really gross. And that's just not how I flow anymore. It's not fun.
Yeah. I mean, I used to pretend like I knew everything and that like I didn't need any help. Blah, blah.
You were that girl, which was annoying. I was like, she have a lot of work to do.
That shit annoyed me. Okay. That annoys me now. Because if there was a little Wesley running around here, I'd read that bitch from here to Kingdom Come.
Yeah, your makeup these days, your makeup has changed too. It's more soft, which that's what happens to all of us the longer we do it. It's like always like a more like blended, more soft.
Yeah.
And even if it's exciting, it still like looks better because of experience. Like, you know how to do your stuff better.
Muscle memory, girl.
Oh, that muscle memory saves me, especially when I travel because there's bad lighting everywhere when I travel. Oh, God, I've never seen a hotel room with good lighting. And I think it's because I usually give Autumn the good lighting in, like, the bathrooms of the hotels we stay in. Mm. So I always just use, like, a mirror. And, like, I have, like, daylight, like, messing with me. And so it's one of those things what Crucifix always says is trust the process. Because I was like, well, I've done everything the same. So I know it's going to look right. But, like, this lighting is making it look like I am not even wearing makeup. Yeah.
No, so. I've been there. There's a couple photos out there roaming around, I'm sure.
So what do you do for work outside of drag?
So I'm a former CNA. I currently work at Walgreens, which isn't great, but it's okay. It's not a
bad. How long have you been working at Walgreens?
I've been here for like 6 months now.
Okay. Like what were you doing before?
Before that?
Mm-hmm. Before Walgreens.
before Walgreens. I was working at the Moda. Oh, shout out to the Rose Quarter.
That's cool. Oh my gosh. So do you have any like big projects coming up yet that you can like hint at for the kids?
Just the podcast. That's my project right now. I want to get that going. I want to get all of the stoner drag artists together and, you know, do this with each of them.
So. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. When me and Donna teleparted ways, like, I didn't want to like lose the podcast. I had been thinking about it for like 3 or 4 months. And I was like, right. Do I have the time to dedicate to even doing it weekly? I actually thought about making it every other week, but it's hard to maintain a following when you do that. And so I was like, you know what? I was like, I should still do it. And it'll be something that I enjoy and I love and it'll make me happy. And absolutely. And it does. It brings me a lot of joy. It makes me really happy. And I don't know. I get to talk to interesting people and like I have my portable podcast stuff. So whenever I go out on site, I can like film and like that's always really fun. And I don't know. It's been a really great experience doing a podcast.
Absolutely.
So I encourage it for everybody.
That's the experience that I want. I want to be able to connect with people finally. I have a hard time connecting with people because one, you know, at a drag, I'm very timid and antisocial. And then like I have my moments in drag where I am antisocial. I won't lie.
Well, I was wondering about that. You do seem really antisocial when it comes to you're out of drag life. Like, you're never in my DMs being like, Coco, let's get lunch. Like, you just, like, you'll say it at the bar and then, like, never talk to me.
I'm sorry. I don't do it intentionally. I just, right now, with everything going on in my life, I just have a hard time being able to have a lot of that relationship with a lot of people. And it's really unfortunate. And, like, I don't know what I'm doing right now, in all honesty. So, like, we're, like, on a fine line.
I get it. It's definitely something that, you know, we can't really figure out about ourselves. Like, and it's one of those journeys that, you know, you just have to go on. And I get that. I fully get that. So, as we get to the end of this episode here, I wanted to ask you, if you were to get into a bar fight, what 3 Portland drag artists would you want on your team to help you win the fight and why?
Shaniqua Volt, because that bitch can fight. Okay. Well, look at their hands. Let's see. Savannah. I want Savannah on my team.
Ms. O'Beddington St. Clair III?
I think she got hands, honey. You think I'm playing? I think she does. Okay. And then, who else? Oh, that's a challenge. Why you do this to me?
I know. You got to name 3. You have to name 3.
Who else? I don't even know who can fight here. Who?
I'm not really trying to win this fight. About to say, who could fight? Who would I think you would choose from the girls?
Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen could throw hands.
Yeah. Oh,
she
yeah.
could throw hands.
Okay, there's your 3.
Okay, now I got it. No, it's good. It's funny. I think maybe 2 people. In the 3 years I've been doing this podcast, I think 3 people did not choose Shaniqua as one of theirs. And it's funny, at the end of it, I usually say you can't change your people. And then I was like, because I always tell them, I was like, well, most people say Shaniqua. They're like, oh, they're like, I want Shaniqua. I was like, no.
She throws hands.
Shaniqua's not a girl to be played with.
Yeah.
So, Feather, tell the kids about your social media. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at FeatherDustedOfficial. You can find me on TikTok at Feather Official, and I don't have a Twitter or anything. I'm not hip.
I don't believe that she doesn't have one.
Okay, we're not going to talk about the Twitter that does it. we can come here to do that.
So with all of the stuff, because you've been through it, like what, like I want to end on like kind of a, like more of an advice note. Of all the stuff that you've been through, because you told us about some really hard, traumatic things. You talked about self-care. We talked about your family. You talked about your drag. Like, what advice would you give for a person who's just really struggling? Like, what advice would you give them to keep moving forward, keeping their head up, keep performing, keeping looking, you know, just forward?
I think it's important for artists to, one, communicate with their friends and, like, express how they're doing. I also think it's very important to be genuine to yourself, no matter the circumstance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, persevere through it. Just keep going. Because the thing about it is I've done that my entire existence. It's just kept going. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten me where I am today. And I'm very happy with what I have.
Yeah, I think that that's fantastic. Yeah, I think that finding joy in the things that keep us moving forward and focusing on the happy moments can really help us get to the place that we need to be. And as always, listeners, remember that if you are struggling, reach out, talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to a teacher, you know, do what you need to do and, you know, to keep yourself on that track. You know, mental health services are important too. And I believe in prioritizing Absolutely. Those as we work through struggles. And, you know, we all are going through some, don't ever think that somebody's not going through anything. And as I always say about drag artists and every single time I can, I was like, you don't do drag because you have your shit together. Oh, most yeah. people do drag because no. they're working through something.
We do drag because we're mentally ill, bitch. Yeah. Okay?
Seriously, there's just no way around it.
I love it.
All right. So yeah, I guess that's it. Say bye to the kids, a feather.
Bye, hookers.
Hi everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.